Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Michael Steele podcast. Great conversation with my friend Eddie Glaude Jr. You see him on MSNBC. You can follow him on Twitter at ES Glaude. And definitely you will. Here's the classroom assignment. Pick up his new book, Begin Again, James Baldwin's America and Its Urgent Lessons for Our Own, just so you can begin to understand what we've been talking about for sure, but how you can play a role, the role that you need to play in fixing what's ailing America right now. Eddie, before we went to break, I mentioned your audio documentary. It's called History is Us, and it takes a look at our past, in a way to help us understand what's going on in our present. It certainly tracks into this narrative, this Baldwinian narrative of looking at America and understanding and learning lessons from this evolution of America as we sort of set the course for the country going forward. How in your view, how do you assess this period we're in now when you look at the past 5 years or 6 years and this emergence of Trumpism? I call it the infection, the great infection. It's like if you're out in the woods and you're walking along and you mind your business and you walk up against something and you scratch your leg. And right, and he's like, oh, damn, right, that hurt. Then you get back home, you kind of put a Band-Aid on it, and you think you attended to it because everyone, you know, you believe you got this, right? Remember all these Republicans, oh, we can handle Trump. That's not a problem at all, right? And they're doing these little Band-Aid things, right? But they're not really paying attention. And so 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, you know, 2 years, 3 years later, that little scratch has turned into this gangrenous infection that is now spreading throughout the body. How do we assess that and look at that in the context of our history as we try to figure out, to your points made before we went to break, about us sort of breaking this and fixing this ourselves, the Gen Z generation, you know, looking for order, but we don't want them to resort to nationalistic order. We want them to resort to democratic order. How do we help facilitate that in the face of this infection?
Well, I think first to acknowledge it as such, right?
Right.
Is important. And what I try to do is to say we've been here before, right? In the podcast, you know, I was just struck by this moment on Jan 6 on the floor of the Senate when Ted Cruz invoked the Compromise of 1877 as a framework to address the controversy around the 2020 election. Now, all of us know, those of us who are students of politics and history, we know that the 1876 presidential election was one of the most corrupt elections in the history of the country. And we know that it gave us the Electoral Count, eventually gave us the Electoral Count Act.
Right.
But it also was, it marked, the Compromise of 1877 marked the end of Reconstruction.
Yeah.
It marked the end of this radical experiment. So what I see today are not necessarily gangrenous Republicans, although we could describe them, I see them as the new redeemers. So there's this moment post-Reconstruction where there, you know, because radical Reconstruction was an extraordinary moment in world history.
Sure.
Where you're going to take a population that was once enslaved and bring them to the body politic. They're going to become citizens. And we see this happening at an enormous scale. And then it is rolled back, and it's rolled back by violence. Between 1865 and 1896, 53,000 Black people are murdered.
Right. That's right.
And they're not murdered, Michael, in kind of wild orgy, riot or orgiastic riots. No, they're poll workers. They're like Ms. Ruby and
right.
Shay. And
right.
They're
right.
those folk.
Right.
Working in the Republican Party, trying to organize. You see what happened in Clinton, Mississippi, and across the country, right? And there's also this attempt, I call them the New Redeemers, because this period of redemption not only is marked by political violence, it's also marked by intellectual violence. There's an attack on the story of the nation. And so there is this sense in which we have to retell the story. When we talk about those Civil War monuments, the Confederate monuments, they're built in the latter part of the 19th century as this particular story takes shape. And so what's interesting about the moment is that greed and racism collude to allow it all to happen.
Interesting.
Here we are in, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because that's, I hadn't framed it that way before, because that's interesting, because I was going to ask you, why did they give up so quickly on the reforms of the Reconstruction, of the radical Reconstruction that Lincoln and Douglas and so many others not only envisioned, but actually began to get implemented?
Here's the rub, Mike. So many folk wanted Lincoln's approach, which wasn't radical Reconstruction's approach.
Right.
So the rub is this. You had folk who were anti-slavery, but did not want to extend citizenship rights to Black folk.
Mm-hmm.
So Walt Whitman, for example, America's poet, Leaves of Grass, Democratic Vistas, all of this stuff, right? Walt Whitman was decidedly anti-slavery. He was abolitionist, but he didn't believe Black folk deserved or had the capacity to be citizens. He thought we were barbarians and baboons. So you had folk, remember you talked about earlier, you had these folk who wanted to end slavery once it was ended.
Right. We're done.
And so the question of whether or not we were going to have full citizenship rights could never be resolved, because there were those across the country who believed that Black folk were still inferior. As Malcolm X said, as long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're in the South.
You're in the South. That's right.
And so that's the first thing. So you have this racial ideology that still obtains. Remember, the ideology of Anglo-Saxonism takes off. Right. At the very moment, think about America goes imperial. We annex the Philippines, Cuba, at the very moment in which we're consolidating a racial regime in the South, as the courts are putting a stamp of the law
right
on Plessy versus Ferguson.
All that's happening
at the same time.
Yeah.
And of course, all of this is happening in the context of the Gilded Age. Greed and racism.
Yep.
And here we are in this moment.
Capitalism. Industrialism, all of that.
Here we are in this moment. What are we seeing? This uber rich are buying up ranches out west.
Right.
They're pulling away from the body politic. They're not invested in any notion of the public good. Everyday, ordinary, working white folk are struggling to keep their noses above water. And at the same time, we're seeing the heightening of racism, of white supremacy in the country. We're experiencing these folk are the new redeemers. As Mark Twain would say, history doesn't repeat, but at least he's reputed, supposedly said this, history doesn't repeat itself, but it damn sure rhymes.
Like a mug. It's rhyme. Look, it's rhyming words we didn't know actually rhymed.
You said like a mug.
Like a mug. It's like, dude, how do you put cat and toe together to rhyme? I don't understand. It's a whole different.
Yeah.
But it does speak to how you then look at the lead up to January 6th, what happens that day, and then the back end narratives that have evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see almost crystallize, certainly in the personage of Elizabeth Cheney, Liz Cheney, who, because she decided not to, despite her policy, you know, agreements with the GOP and disagreements with Democrats, cut through that and said, democracy matters more. Mm-hmm. And the resultant purge of this woman from leadership, from the party and office. What does that say about the country as they watch this unfold? Do you think they go back and say, okay, we'll see what happens? Or do you think they'll go, I'm good with that? Or is there a moment where they just say, no, that's just not. And I use her as an example, not as sort of representation of all of it, you know, just everybody who's been fighting and moving in this democracy space, the passion you bring when you're on air to talk about this and what it means for the country, the work I try to do and, you know, mm-hmm. and the positions I've taken that have put me outside of my party, even though I stay in because it pisses them off. Despite all of that, how does Joe and Jane America look at this? And what is their evaluation in sort of a Baldwin context? Do they see it the way he would see it? Do they see it? Are they just blind to it? Are we still so fixated on our own pain that we keep ourselves ignorant? What's
yeah? I mean, it's a great question, and it depends on who you're talking to, where, what part of the country you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, because we're so, you know, a notion of the public good has been so eviscerated that it becomes difficult to imagine Joe and Jane America or Lucretia and
Lucretia, right? And Laquan.
And Laquan America, right? It's just right. Because we've been reduced to these kind of isolated persons in pursuit of our own aims and ends.
So each person no longer matters?
I think we're so selfish, Michael.
Ah, ding, 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 ding. That's it for
me. It becomes very difficult to imagine what. So you think about, and then there are these moments of horror in our history. And, you know, when do we wake up from the fever dream?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had the McCarthy era. And I mean, think about the lives destroyed up until they woke up from the fever dream.
Right.
And so we're in one of them, you know, and the fever dream is this bundle of lies and illusion and fantasy coiled together like snakes to justify the slaughter. That's what it is. And so what will it take for us to wake up? Let me say this about Liz Cheney. I disagree with her vehemently.
Yeah.
But she agrees to the background conditions that allow me to disagree with it. She agrees with those background conditions where we can have an argument without coming to blows.
Right.
Right. The people who have banished her from the party don't believe in those background conditions. And history is replete with example of countries falling into the pit of those who are not committed to those background conditions. American exceptionalism doesn't protect us from that. History is replete with examples of folk turning their backs on the good for the secure. And that security could be rooted in all sorts of nonsense and ugliness. So what will it take? I'm not sure. But I do know that if it takes, let me say this. I do know, Michael, that if the midterms turn out the way they could, and if 2024 turns out the way it might, this republic may not survive it. Period.
I would contend it won't survive it, because that would be the intent of those who are victorious.
Exactly.
Because the one thing my experience with Donald Trump, and certainly experience with some of the people who are in his circle, is they will not forget, and they will definitely repay. And there are a lot of Americans who will watch the wholesale political slaughter of individuals, their mm-hmm. lives and livelihoods, their reputations, all of it raked across the shards of the 2020 election that Donald Trump wants to drag their body, their political bodies over.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America, you asked for it. Or maybe you didn't. But either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So we're going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.